This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Wednesday. We're going to talk about the fact that Secret Service snipers can't shoot. The communists in New York City has a bunch of young, evil communists working for them who are rich kids. Surprise, surprise. Americans still can't afford things. Emails, so much more coming up in the second hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But all that has to be set aside because we have an announcement to make about what we're going to begin on the show. And I have always told you, there is no limit to what you can accomplish if you're willing to take credit for other people's work. And I stand by that. No, seriously, I believe in giving people credit where credit is due. And we got an idea. An idea that popped into our head some time ago. Me, Jewish producer Chris, producer Corey. And the idea actually came from some ridiculous voicemail we got back when we used to take voicemails. We don't do that anymore. But I was talking about Haiti and how it's pretty much the worst place on the planet, a complete dump in every possible way. It's awful. And how we should not be importing Haitians into the United States of America. And we got this voicemail.
Mr. Kelly, thank you for your work. But as you refer to Haitians going home to eat each other, they are not cannibals. Please watch your words. Educate yourself more on other cultures because they're beautiful people. Their country is just riddled with corruption. Okay? Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Okay. So just a little recap. One, it's a horrible country. There are many, many cultures, including Haitian culture, that are disgusting in horrible places. At one point in time, he may still be in charge. The leader of Haiti was a man nicknamed Barbecue. You know how he got that name? It wasn't because he made a great baby back rib. He got that name because he ate people. Okay? All cultures are not equal. There are cultures that are filthy and horrible and oppressive and disgusting. Cultures that encourage murder, torture, where people live in poverty, a living hell. And you, if you are listening to me from America, should bend down and kiss the ground and thank the good Lord on high every single day that you don't live in so many of the dumps that are across the globe. And so we thought, after we thought and thought and thought and thought about it, we thought, well, yeah, there's a lot of really bad places, but which one's the worst? Which country is the crappiest country on the planet? We should figure this out. We should come up with the top or bottom contenders, and we should figure out what's the crappiest country on earth. And starting Monday, we will dig in.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition.
Starting on Monday, I would say, I think, you know when we're going to do this, Chris? Halfway through hour two on Monday. Remind me, halfway through hour two on Monday, the competition begins. What, Chris? What? Chris said the first half. Chris, don't interrupt me and say stupid things because I get confused. He said, which half, the first half or second half? Halfway through the second hour on Monday, the competition begins. It's going to be fierce. We've gone through the contenders, and man, it looks like, I'll say this, a lot of them want to be champion. A lot of them want to be crowned champion. How do you
How do you choose? Is it the rampant filth everywhere? The acceptance of the abuse of women? Just throwing trash bags in the river? I don't know. I don't know who will be our champion. I don't want to handicap things, but I do know we are going to let them work it out. We believe in competition here on this show. So we are going to go find all the putrid, fly-ridden, disgusting places on the planet, and we're going to allow them to fight it out. Let's find out which place truly is the crappiest. And here's how we're going to handle this. And you may not have social media. If not, don't worry about it at all, because I probably have veto, not probably, I have veto power anyway if I disagree with the people. I will actually put up a public poll on the show's Twitter account, the show's X account, the day of the competition that day. When there's one day, it'll be one matchup. We haven't totally decided how many countries are going to compete yet. I would guess 8, maybe 16. We're sifting through the finalists as we speak, but I am going to allow you a vote on it's just look up Jesse Kelly Show, Jesse Kelly Show on Twitter or X. There's nothing there right now except for, well, there's a bunch there, but there's no poll there for you to vote on yet. We are not going to put up that poll until Monday. The first of our two contenders, we'll figure it out. I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited. And I'm not going to lie. Part of my excitement is just thinking about this guy listening to it the whole time.
Mr. Kelly, thank you for your work. But as you refer to Haitians going home to eat each other, they are not cannibals. Please watch your words. Educate yourself more on other cultures, because they're beautiful people. Their country is just riddled with corruption. Okay? Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Oh, you are very welcome. Don't thank me. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You have inspired us to greatness here on the Jesse Kelly Show, and we intend to climb that mountain. Now, it's enough of that. I've talked to you before about diversity and how it's awful. It should never, ever, 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 ever be a goal of any kind. Ever. Diversity should never be the goal. If you ever allow that goal to creep in any way, you will negatively affect whatever you're trying to diversify. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If you're the high school choir teacher and you decide we need more tall kids, got to have more tall kids, the choir will get worse. If you are a company, hey, we don't have enough Asians, and you seek to only hire Asians, what you're doing is you're reducing the pool of people you can sift through, and you will get worse. It is inevitable. Whatever you are attempting to diversify will slowly rot away, and in the end, unless you reverse course, it will die. I have called it over and over again the death of everything. That's what diversity truly is. Diversity is the death of everything. Whatever you're diversifying will rot away and die in the end. And when I say that's happening at a university somewhere, UCLA, you say, yeah, that sucks. It's terrible. Okay. But the problem is, when you are diversifying critically important parts of your society, it can actually bring down an entire nation, because critically important things, things you need, things I need, they are rotting away, they're withering away, and they're dying. And because you're not always involved in everything, and I'm not always involved in everything, I don't know everything, you don't know everything, because we're not involved in everything, the rot, we can't always see it. Sometimes, oftentimes, we don't even know what's happening until it's too late. You remember the day that almost changed everything. A day that you still remember, but it was a day, if it had gone a little bit differently, you would remember the rest of your life. You would tell your children and your grandchildren about that day. You remember. I'm talking about the day Donald Trump was shot in the ear. The day Corey Comparator was shot and killed. The day in Butler, Pennsylvania, when an assassin was allowed to take a rooftop 148 meters from the president's skull. Let's talk about the Secret Service before we talk about that. The internet is a scary place. If you look into it, if you are a parent, most definitely, you realize just how scary it is. It's scary for young people, scary for middle age, scary for old people. It is where criminals gather to steal and do terrible things. Stealing your information, stealing your identity is a multi-billion dollar business. You've heard of PayPal, that huge company? You know, almost 16 million people had their credentials leaked onto the dark web. A multi-billion dollar business is evil people looking through the internet to steal your stuff. LifeLock is here to save you. They're here to detect and alert you if something has potentially exposed you to that. And probably more importantly, they have restoration specialists. So if, God forbid, you wake up one day and the bank account's empty and you're wiped out, they're here for you. Get LifeLock and protect yourself and your children. Save up to 40% off your first year at LifeLock.com with the promo code Jesse. Or call 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. So just a quick rewind, because we're going to move on, talk about other stuff, get to some emails. You remember the day where Donald Trump was almost assassinated in Butler, Pennsylvania? Let's do recall that that was a successful assassination attempt. But for luck, that was a successful assassination attempt. The assassin, he reconned it. He made entry with his weapon. He assumed the crow's nest shooting position he wanted, lined up his target, and made the shot. Donald Trump happened to, by the grace of God, turn his head at the exact moment, which is why he got grazed in the ear instead of having his brain splattered all over the stage. How does that happen? How does that happen? Because my entire life, I have known and looked up to the United States Secret Service. I mean, my goodness, they're featured in the movies all the time. From In the Line of Fire, great old Clint Eastwood movie, to Last Boy Scout. And what are these Secret Service agents all the time in these movies? Highly trained, tough as nails, in shape, looking out like a hawk for danger, ready to jump in front of a bullet to stop an assassin. So on the day Donald Trump almost had his head blown off, where were all those guys? I remember the video. One of the people tasked with protecting Donald Trump, she couldn't get her weapon back in her holster. I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember my old company first sergeant sent me a message about it. Now, he was a bad, bad man, don't get me wrong, but he was freaking mortified. Mortified. How does that happen? Headline: Secret Service counter-sniper team drastically understaffed, putting protectees' lives in danger. I won't go into all the details of it, but it's well beyond understaffing, you see. Some counter-snipers did not meet the mandatory weapons requalification requirement, counter-snipers who missed mandatory weapons requalification sessions nonetheless supported 47 of the 426 events. We have counter-snipers, not just any Secret Service agents, the counter-sniper teams tasked with locating enemy snipers and shooting them before they can shoot the protectee. We have counter-sniper teams who can't hit the target. And this is what happens. This is the rot I'm talking about. When you look at anything, your little league team or the United States Secret Service, your pastor team or your college, your company or who knows what, when you look at it and you say, you know what? We have too much of whatever X is. Too many white people, too many men, too many black people, too many. We have too much of this. No more of that. We need to get rid of them and bring in some of X, Y, or Z. The second you do this, whatever you do it to, it will start to die. It will start. Oftentimes it'll be slow, right? When you fire one dude and make sure he's replaced by a woman, you're not going out of business the next day. It happens slowly. But surely, slowly, it gets a little worse, and then you keep doing it, and it gets a little worse, and then you keep doing it, and it gets a little worse, and soon the diversity hires you've brought in, they only hire other diversity hires, and soon it's snowballing, and snowballing, and snowballing, and one day, 10 years later, you look at your profit loss, and you say, what happened? We used to be profitable. No more. Declare bankruptcy. One day, you wake up and you look out at your Secret Service counter-sniper, the shooting results, and you find out the counter-snipers who should be able to shoot the balls off a net, they can't hit anything anymore. How did that happen? Diversity is how it happened. Focusing on everything else except for training. Find the best, brightest, smartest, bring them in, train them up, and make sure you have killers with a long gun protecting Donald Trump when he is at a rally in Butler. I've brought it up before. I'll bring it up again. To have an unsecured rooftop 148 meters from the President of the United States of America almost sounds malicious to me. I don't have Secret Service training. I know a little bit about shooting. I don't have Secret Service training. I could walk out there and say, that rooftop? Someone's going to be on that, right? Or in the very least, there's going to be a sniper team looking at that, right? Unsecured with no eyes on it. Diversity is the death of everything. Let's do some emails. Before we do some emails, let's get your phone service switched up. You know that's how Verizon went down, right? AT&T, T-Mobile. It was all this diversity stuff. How did these large, iconic American companies, how did they rot away so fast? Soon they're paying Black Lives Matter to riot? How does that happen? Well, it happens because you bring in dirty communist filth and they destroy your company. Soon, your cell phone company is taking your money after you pay the bill, and they're paying communists to burn down your country with it. My cell phone company doesn't do that. Would never. Pure Talk's interested in Americans. Hiring Americans. American jobs. Pure Talk's interested in charging you less than you're paying now. I pay half of what I was paying. They help veterans. Pure Talk's just awesome. Do you have a cell phone company that's awesome? I do. Do you want one? You can switch during the break. It's easy. You pick up that cell phone of yours and you dial #250 and you say, Jesse Kelly, 10 minutes on the phone speaking to a pleasant person, and you have everything you want. Oh, and when you do it now, you save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Email's next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to some emails here, and then we'll get to just a little bit of this Epstein press conference from today and other things, all that stuff is still to come. I wanted to talk about something pretty serious here. It's from the New York Post today, and the headline is, "What is Jet Belly and How to Milk Your Gas in the Plane Seat If You Need a Mid-Flight Toot?" And I understand this can get uncomfortable, that talking about these personal things can get uncomfortable, but I've done a lot of flying in my life, and I'm going to give you just a little tidbit here, just a little pointer, all right? You know why people get upset stomachs when they fly? You, me, everybody. Because you eat like garbage in the airport. I do too. Believe me, I'm not pointing fingers. In the airport, it's mostly garbage meals. You're not going to find a roast chicken or something like that. You're getting chicken strips or snacks. So you're eating like garbage in the airport. And people compound this problem by drinking in the airport. It's a very natural thing people do. You're stuck in the airport. You don't have to drive anywhere. I'll belly up to the bar and have a couple beers. Well, what happens when you have a double cheeseburger from Jack in the Box and wash it down with three Bud Heavies? Let me go ahead and spoil it for you. The stomach's going to be a bubbling, known as the bubble guts or the bubs, depending on where you are. And so there may come a day, God forbid, but there may come a day this happens to you when you're flying. Allow me to help you out. If the need arises, do not, under any circumstances, make the very common mistake, and that's try to cough to cover up for your fart. It's a terrible mistake for a couple different reasons. One, timing. The timing is not always precise. If you're going to try to employ this technique, I would highly suggest you practice at home or at work, depending on how well you get along with your coworkers. Sometimes the doesn't exactly line up with the, and then you just went, and now everybody knows. Are you going to time that perfectly? I don't know, and neither do you. That's one. Two, on a plane, part of what can make air travel so terrible is you're trapped. You're on a big metal tube in the air at 30,000 feet with other people, and you are trapped. So are they. What if it goes wrong? You start coughing to try to cover up for your gas problems. What if it's not totally gas that comes out? What if it's a little solid and you're on a plane? Now it's gone from bad to worse. So allow me to give you a piece of advice. If it happens to you, you've eaten poorly, some Bud Heavies, whatever the case may be, and the need arises, what you do is you wait until they're making an announcement on the loudspeaker. Not only is it loud, the extra noise helps cover up the noise, it's loud, but it's distracting. People are listening in. They want to know, are we delayed? Is there turbulence coming? Is there, their attention is elsewhere. And that is when you ever so gently let it out a little at a time. Treat it like a pressure valve. You don't open it all at once. A little at a time, unleash it as quietly as you can. Then, and this is important, the people around you will know that something terrible has happened. Everybody will know. You can be the first. Being the second is probably preferred,
but you have to participate 100%. Someone is going to start making faces. Maybe they'll even say something. Maybe they'll start looking around. You had better be able to keep a straight face and participate in the search for the gasser. You have got to say, oh, what, man? People are so rude. That's terrible. And then by now you'll be struggling to contain your laughter. Put your head back, close your eyes, smile at a job well done. The loudspeaker is your friend. There, I just helped everyone out on a Wednesday. Let's do some emails. Dear Devil Dog, I keep hearing about the paid protesters you mentioned on today's show. Just wondering if the IRS peruses this income, 1099s, W-2s, Medicare, FICA payments, so on and so forth. Well, it's a very good point, and I'm glad you brought that up, but who works at the IRS? Do you remember how far and wide the Biden corruption went? It was like everywhere we turned, the people inside of government agencies were helping cover for the family. We're attacking their political opponents and cover for the family. FBI gets a laptop. Let's hide it. Do you remember the special counsel? They put somebody in charge of investigating Hunter Biden's crimes. This was supposed to be the crime fighter. The crime fighter came up with essentially a deal that let him off scot-free for what he'd done and had what amounted to a future pardon aspect to it of, hey, anything else that may come out, you're free of that too. That was the special counsel. It was so egregious, the judge in Delaware looked at it and went, wait, what? No, this is, what kind of a deal is this? We're not doing this. And also remember, the IRS got involved. You remember that? Remember the IRS whistleblowers came forward? Do you remember what those whistleblowers said? I'll paraphrase for the sake of time. There are other things I want to get to here, but the IRS whistleblowers essentially came forward and said, yeah, the IRS is covering for the Biden family. This is our problem, and it's a problem that the Trump administration is beginning to solve, but the entire federal government, federal agencies we rely upon, they are the ones tasked with investigating the crimes communists commit. Elected communists, street communists, they are the ones in charge of investigating these crimes. And as we've discussed so many times before, the elite communists and street communists may be separate and they may have different motivations, but they most definitely work together. The elite communists know part of their job is to keep the street communists out of jail. Yeah, the IRS should look into this. And remember, forensic accounting is a very fascinating field. It's way too smart for me, way beyond my ability. I don't even think they taught it at my community college. But it's hard to track dark money. It's very, very difficult. And in some cases, because of the laws that protect nonprofits, in some cases, it's impossible. You can get, and I've talked to them, the best investigative journalists in the world, they can't even travel all the way down the rabbit hole because they run into things they're not allowed to have access to. It's a good idea, but it's going to take some work. Let's talk about these young evil communists. And let's talk about a man towing away an ICE vehicle. What? Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I get back to the emails, and I'm going to try to chop away at a bunch of those, I'm going to do a couple things here. So there's an article today out of the New York Post. Zohran Mamdani's brain trust
is full of young, privileged, lefty radicals with little government experience who could one day lead New York City. And there's just a couple little bits from the article that are so good. Out of the roughly 20 operatives, 8 are under 36 years old. 3 have ties to Soros, and about half a dozen grew up in million-dollar pads, according to Zillow estimates. The median salary in the Big Apple is $58,000 a year. Many of Mamdani's top confidants rake in an average of $10,000 to $12,000 a month. Twelve of the 20 grew up in million-dollar homes. It makes me laugh because the story of communism is the same over and over and over again. Every single place it takes hold, it's always some rich kid. It's always a rich kid with a God complex and a desire to find and lead some sort of struggle who ends up mass murdering millions and millions of people. Almost. Stalin might be the only exception to this rule, actually. With the exception of Stalin, every single time when there is a communist leader, it's a rich kid. It's a privileged, God-complex little snot who doesn't think they're ever going to have to live with the horrible results of everything they're doing. They believe they should be in charge of everything underneath the sun. And as their plans fail, like they always do, and normal people die, they don't care. Never moves them at all. It's always the same thing, over and over and over and over again. And as long as we're talking about some of this stuff, let me bring this up briefly. I'm aware that there was a press conference today for, well, it was called an Epstein Victims Press Conference. You can go look at it for yourself. It's about the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. Here was part of it.
Transparency is justice. Release the files. End the secrecy. And stand with us in declaring that no one, no billionaires, no politicians, not world leaders, is above the law. Several of us Epstein survivors have been discussing creating our own list of names. We know the names. Many of us were abused by them.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, together as survivors, we will confidentially compile the names we all know were regularly in the Epstein world. And it will be done by survivors and for survivors.
You remember the Me Too movement? Most people vaguely remember it, but let me refresh your memory in case you don't. The Me Too movement, it's called Me Too. It was a movement initially where women who had been abused by co-workers or employers or abused in some way by men, this happens far too often to women, they were encouraged to come forward and tell their story. Name names. Come forward. Tell your story. Who abused you? Harvey Weinstein. Remember that movie producer? I think he's actually still sitting in prison. Maybe he's on house arrest, but ended up getting arrested, convicted. That all came from the Me Too movement. Wait a minute. He did what to what actress? And then he did this to the next one. And then eventually he goes down for it, right? The Me Too movement. But if you remember it, remember how quickly it went from a woman who had suffered some terrible indignity to a woman who had a bad date and was looking for revenge? He was mean to me. And when he dropped me off, he tried to kiss me. Remember how quickly it turned into that? Remember the Tea Party? I was part of the Tea Party. I gave this. That's back when I was running for Congress. I gave speeches at Tea Parties. I am a Tea Party man. It was an awesome movement. An organic movement. Remember how quickly the Tea Party turned into a scam? There was this Tea Party group and that Tea Party group and that Tea Party group, and almost just seemed like it became about money and power. All movements when they get enough eyeballs on them, they all tend to get a little scummy. I watched that press conference today because I'm very interested in women who were abused and finding them justice. And so I watched. I wanted to hear their stories. I wanted to see it. Kind of felt dirty to me. And it occurred to me as I'm looking at all those women that there are undoubtedly some women there who are victims. No question about it. Victims of something. I don't know. I wasn't there. Something bad. But there are undoubtedly some who aren't. It looked scummy to me. It sounded scummy to me. And when you bring out that lawyer, Gloria Allred, when she's the face of your movement, now, if I'm already suspicious that it's a little scummy, now it looks even scummier. When you're asked at the press conference, okay, well, who did it? We'll come out with a list some other time. I know there are reasons. It didn't feel right to me. It felt a little dirty. And now I'm at the place where I really just don't trust anybody. I don't trust the government for sure. I don't trust the lawyers. And I'm not sure that I trust everyone who claims they were a victim in this whole thing. I'm not sure I do. It felt scammy. Scammy is the word I'm looking for, and I don't even know if that's a word. That's how it felt to me. Let's move on. Let's talk about beautiful things. Let's talk about a man getting busted after he towed away an ICE vehicle and why they keep doing this stuff. And let's talk about Americans hurting. And let's talk about a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for the Trump administration. All that and more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. But what's coming up for you is learning from Hillsdale College without having to pay for it. Isn't that the best thing in the world that Hillsdale does that for us at no cost? They've been doing this kind of stuff for years. When I was working construction, driving back and forth, I would hear about Hillsdale will give this to you at no cost. They'll give this to you at no cost. Hillsdale, for years, God bless them, has been doing the most wonderful stuff in giving away as much as they can. Now, they give away entire courses, more than 40 free courses, no cost. You can learn about whatever interests you, American history, world history, ancient history, economics, Federalist Papers. There's a really cool new one out on the Federalist Papers. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. No cost. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.